You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
A number of opportunities for master's-level pharmacologists exist in the pharmaceutical industry, biotechnology companies, government agencies, research laboratories, and academic programs. Introducing the Master of Science in Pharmacology program from the University of California, Irvine, UCI. The knowledge acquired in the Master of Science in Pharmacology program would also benefit those seeking employment in industry or advancement in teaching, technical and scientific writing, patenting, or pharmaceutical sales and marketing. Fall registration is now open. Apply today at sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology to learn more and reserve your seat by June 15th, 2020. That's sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology and reserve your seat today. The deadline is June 15th, 2020.
Introducing a new dimension to cancer care. Cancer care made momentous progress in recent years. Today, understanding why immunotherapy helps some patients, but not others, remains a critical challenge. Anti-cancer treatment affects both the tumor and the patient's body. The host response, the body's reaction to the treatment, is key in determining the patient's response. These treatment-induced effects potentially can facilitate tumor growth and spread, counteracting the beneficial effects of therapy, creating a paradox in which the desired therapeutic effect is negated by its own side effect on the host. What if we could untangle this paradox and enable accurate, predictable, personalized care? OncoHost introduces PROFIT, the first host-response profiling platform. Based on a simple blood test, PROFIT analyzes the host response to predict the patient's response to treatment and potential treatment strategies to overcome treatment resistance. Personalized, cost-effective care while maximizing clinical benefit and reducing unnecessary side effects. What if we could decipher a patient's response to cancer treatment? Well, now we can.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Pharmacy Podcast listeners, thanks for coming back to the Pharmacy Podcast. Started in 2009. I can't believe how far we've come. We thank you. Big announcement, if you haven't heard, we now have continuing education. We have a division of the Pharmacy Podcast Network that is plugged into one of the most innovative providers of continuing education in the pharmacy marketplace and industry, CE Impact. That team, you can look us up at ceimpact.com. But that's an exciting announcement, and we are spreading our wings and getting into different facets of different information, and today is no different. I am excited to introduce Professor Yuval Shaked, who is a researcher of plasma. With everything happening with this pandemic, it's making more sense than ever to take the plasma analysis of human blood and blood-derived products and offer an attractive way of translating this research, making it make sense for not only the laboratory studies, but bringing it into a clinic. We know that there's unique issues in deriving and coming up with a way to use plasma in different settings, different disease states. Protein compositions, performing that plasma analysis, the plasma technology, extracting the information. Today, this is a special time for us because we have Yuval here. Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Yuval.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here.
So you work with OncoHost to present data in a response to profiling of melanoma patients specifically, but this is a key, in my opinion, a key to opening us up to other opportunities, other studies, other medications, and other solutions and cures for different diseases. So would you give us an overview of yourself and then also the research that you're doing with plasma as well as OncoHost?
So I'll start with, I am Yuval Shaked, that I'm working as a professor at the Faculty of Medicine at the Technion. It's an Israel Institute of Technology. And the work that presented at ASCO, as well as work that we published in a number of studies in the last 15 years, demonstrating how sometimes treatments for cancer can explain why patients will not benefit from this treatment and how they can sometimes be not effective. And this is more urgent or more needed, required in the era of immunotherapy, when patients, when there is only small portion of patients that benefit from this treatment modality, which has made a huge impact on the cancer treatment field. And as you mentioned, yes, we work on plasma because we found that in the plasma, all the information that we need in order to know whether the patient benefit or not from the treatment can exist in the plasma, can present in the plasma of the patient. We look at proteins in the plasma, at the changes in the proteins in the plasma, and based on these changes, we can identify what happened in this patient, what are the biological processes that are changed or that that occur in response to treatment, let's say in this case with immunotherapy, and how these changes can explain whether a tumor will respond to the treatment or not. So that's why we used plasma. And based on this a specific study that we published at ASCO, there are additional studies that are on the way that will publish in the next few years. So this is basically the work. And of course, we can discuss the details if you're interested.
Most definitely. So the Pharmacy Podcast has several 30-some channels. And one of our channels is dedicated to specialty pharmacy, where these pharmacists are trained and educated in very specific disease states. And one of the largest of those disease states, obviously, is oncology and cancer treatment for patients and a multitude of different cases and how it's affecting patients, but also the ancillary services that surround that, the services that supplement what's happening with that patient. So this makes a lot of sense for our audience. I would like you to dig more down into your research and kind of on unpacking the cell biology and the cancer-specific science at the Tachyon and what you're doing at the Israel Institute of Technology, which I think is absolutely fascinating.
Indeed, 15 years ago, I basically pioneered the term host response to anti-cancer treatment. What does it mean? It means that when somebody gives a drug, and you said that you're working a lot with pharmacists, so drugs are very important for pharmacists to know that when a patient gets a treatment, let's say for cancer, the benefit of this treatment is usually killing the tumor cells or eradicating the tumor mass. And that's the goal of the treatment for patients. However, underneath of these processes, there are a lot of biological process that takes place during the treatment and actually afterwards. Once you cause damage to the tumor tissue, what happens is that our body immediately reacts to this damage. And that's what I call the host response, because the host response is the reaction of our body to the treatment and to the damage that we cause in the tumor. And this reaction sometimes is to the benefit of the tumor, because the body is trying to protect the tumor from the treatment that you give. Yeah. And these biological processes that happens underneath the effect of the treatment in order to kill the tumor cells are all these things that will try and revert this process and will try and improve or repair the damaged tissue in the tumor. So basically, host response means that when you take the overall process that happens in the tumor, both the benefit and as well as those that are in favor of the tumor and those that are against the tumor, and when you take them together, you can ask yourself, whether the treatment is an effective treatment to the patients or not. And the way OncoHost is working is looking into the changes that happens in blood circulation, in plasma proteins levels that are undergoing this process in order to know what happens in the tumor and what happens in our body in response to the treatment. Taking this information using machine learning techniques and different algorithms, we can suggest whether the patient's really, whether the treatment is really good for that patient or not. Because we look at all these biological processes that happens, and based on these biological processes, we can say, do you kill the tumor or do you get a more repair of the damage? And based on that, we can stratify between patients that respond and not respond from the treatment. So that's basically the idea of what we do.
I have read where plasma is challenging biological, it's kind of a biological matrix per se, due to both a large dynamic range of protein expression, but then also the capabilities of that analytical method in order to extract information of the science that you're using to extract and to study and to verify and to repeat over and over again. When you start building out that data, you start loading that into some kind of algorithm or machine learning entity per se that's able to take thousands and millions of data points and put those together. That's what you're saying, is you're actually allowing the artificial intelligence to take all of this data that scientists and yourself and these institutions are providing, putting it into that and allowing it to come up with predictive outcomes per se. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. So in particular, in this study that we published at ASCO, what we show in melanoma patients that are getting, and I have to mention first that this work was done in collaboration with Yale University, as well as the University of Connecticut. What we basically did, we looked in this specific study, we looked about 400 proteins in the plasma of these patients. And the idea was to look at this plasma in these patients at different time points, at baseline and ongoing when the treatment is ongoing, about usually 2 or 3 weeks after the initiation of the therapy, and looking at the changes that are happening in these proteins in the plasma. And based on these changes and based on the proteins that are significantly or abundantly are different, or what we call differentially expressed proteins in the plasma samples, we get a machine learning algorithm in order now to stratify what are the protein signatures that tells us that this patient will respond or not to immunotherapy in melanoma. And what we also found, that it doesn't matter whether you use a monotherapy of immunotherapy using, let's say, anti-PD-1, or whether you use a combination of anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4, in both we can really identify those biological processes that can tell us whether the patient benefit or not. And this is based on the changes in the protein that we see in the blood throughout the treatment, from the baseline and ongoing on treatment, usually 2 to 3 weeks after treatment.
So one of the key challenges in human health and an unmet need of medicine is that early detection, which we all, you know, want. We want to catch things before they metastasize into something bigger. Remember, I'm not a pharmacist, so I'm just the pharmacist's number one fan. But regardless, so almost entirely dependent on more specific biomarkers and better patients, stratification of the methods that are coming up as the predictions of what's going to happen. Are you saying that plasma can be used to move ahead of that disease before it does become something out of control and start coming up with ways to pre-treat detection of cancers or other issues in the body?
So I think that it's important to mention that at this point, OncoHost is trying to help those that have already an advanced metastatic disease, where usually these patients, you know, are in a death row. And what we are trying to do is to see whether the treatment that they get is really good for them or not. We're not talking about the detection of the disease, although I have to say that in the pipeline of OncoHost, there are studies now that are doing in patients in order to see detection at early stage disease. But we're talking not about early stage disease at the moment, at least not at this study that we published. We're talking about a patient with a metastatic disease that gets treatment. Now, what happened with immunotherapy, these treatments are good for only about 20 or 30% of those patients. Okay. But 100% of the patients get it. That means about 70% of the patients do not benefit from the treatment. And not only that they do not benefit, they also get side effects. That means you want to really give the treatment to those that will benefit. And those that do not, you don't want to give them that treatment. And what OncoHost is doing is trying to really stratify and give this treatment or suggest to give those treatment only for those patients that will benefit from it. And those that do not should not get this treatment. But what OncoHost still is doing and is working on and showing that those that do not benefit from the treatment, we identify ways to explain how we can make them benefit from this treatment. For example, I just mentioned that based on the changes in the protein, we know that there are biological processes that support the tumor. If you have a damage, they support the tumor and make the tumor grow. And this is usually based on specific proteins in the plasma that are changed. So what we identified is those plasma proteins that are changed in response to the treatment, and they support the tumor. And what we show that when an oncologist get the patient the results of the OncoHost report, not only he or she can say whether the patient will benefit from the treatment, but those that will not, it will tell the patient, the doctor, the oncologist, it will tell him what would be the right combination of treatment in order to make the patient benefit from this treatment. So there are two layers of information that the patient, the doctor and the patient get. First, will I benefit from this treatment, yes or no? And second, if I'm not benefiting from this treatment, how can I improve my treatment? And based on the combination treatment and clinical studies that we can suggest would be the right way to go, then the doctor will take this initiative in order to suggest to the patients, go to this clinical trial because this combination would be the right combination for you.
So Professor Shakid, could I assume that using something like pharmacogenomics, that study of absorption and efficacy of medications, which are used in pain medicines, opioids per se, oncology medications and psychotropics, pharmacists can take a cheek swab and they can determine, hey, are you going to absorb this? Are you a fast metabolizer, slow metabolizer, not going to metabolize? Could that be leveraged in this to take that 70% who are not being affected and try to grow that out by predetermining if they're going to absorb what you're trying to get them to respond to?
Your statement is correct. And what we are actually suggesting that as long as we collect more and more information about what we see, we will be able to use a pharmacogenomic approach in order to suggest what would be the right treatment even before the patient gets the treatment. That's one thing. The other thing, think about that the host response that we are looking into is basically all these different informations that are translated into proteins in our circulation. What do I mean by that? Changes in microbiome, for example, are affecting proteins in the plasma. Pharmacogenomic, as you suggested, giving a drug to a specific population, specific ethnicity, would make changes to specific protein. Based on this information, what we actually collect is the whole thing together. We collect the microbiome, we collect the pharmacogenomic, we collect whether the patient is, obese or actually train a lot or exercise a lot. All this information we can find in the plasma proteins. And we collect all this information and suggest whether the treatment will be benefit or not. So it's actually taking together into account what you are suggesting.
How are you guys overcoming collection of plasma samples with the knowledge? We know that plasma is really hard to obtain in comparison to other types of you know, bodily substances that we can use for studies. Even though blood is easily available, it's extracting that plasma. So how are you guys overcoming that to get larger sample sizes to facilitate better, powered plasma studies?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to answer your question in two ways. First of all, I would say that getting plasma samples are much better and much easier than getting, let's say, biopsies from tumors. And when you take a biopsy from tumor, this is very limited compared to plasma. Plasma is just taking blood, drawing blood, and then generate plasma. But you're correct. It's also hard to get plasma samples before treatment and after treatment. And that's one of the problems of gaining a lot of information from a lot of patients. We opened in Israel 10 centers that are collecting plasma for us, and we are in the process of getting about 15 centers in the U.S., and I cannot reveal the name until signing the contract. The only problem that we didn't sign the contract is the COVID-19, that actually the pandemics that actually stop everything in the U.S. in terms of clinical studies. But we have a clinical studies also in the U.S. that will be initiated soon. So we'll collect more and more plasma samples from patients. So we are doing this right now. And as I mentioned, we're also working in a lot of collaborations, both in the U.S. and in Europe, in order to get more and more oncologists interested in this idea and trying to collaborate with us on this initiative. So we're doing that. And as far as of now, we have enough or sufficient number of samples that based on these samples, we can get really very nice results. Just to give you an idea, our area under the curve are 0.84, which is by far better than the biomarkers, predictive biomarkers that we have today in the market for immunotherapy. So based on this, just on this information, we really can, and the limited number of patients that we got, we still can get really good predictive power of the results that we get. So far we're good, but we would actually like to welcome more and more centers to work with us and get samples from patients and gain more knowledge about the proteomics, the host response profile of those patients, because I think it will help, as you mentioned at the beginning, at the preface of your introduction, is that it can help not only cancer, it can help many other diseases and many other treatments that people get. We believe that this would help.
Absolutely, which brings us to our current event. And we know that the pandemic, we've heard scientists and researchers, Dr. Fauci, mention coming up with a vaccine for COVID-19 based on plasma research. And when I was reading about that, I thought of the strength of the existing scientists and researchers we have. However, I do think of the obstacles and the factors to be considered in phlebotomy procedures, the vacuuming, the correlation between collection and volume, the temperature for storage, you know, the whole process of extraction and in researching with plasma. You got to be good at this. Like that. That's why I'm excited when I read about OncoHost and what you guys are doing. I was like, wow, we need more of these kinds of organizations pushing this to accelerate things like vaccines and what we're experiencing now throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. I think your comment is quite correct. And I believe that indeed we'll see more and more institutions and companies looking into peripheral blood products. Could be plasma, could be serum, could be free RNA, DNA, and so on and so, exosomes and so on and so forth. So we'll see more of these products coming out. And I do believe that it will make a difference. It's true that in some of these products, you need to be very in a very controlled way in order to draw the blood and generate your product. It's definitely something that the people need to take into consideration. And we indeed in OncoHost are doing the same thing and looking into controls that would the quality controls of the product that we generate, the plasma that we generate. And the fact that we see it, we do it in different centers around the world, not only in Israel, basically suggests that we want to see that we can be reproducible, even though we are working in, with different people and with different cultures and with different institutions, and we still get the same results. So that's actually one of the reasons why we do it, a multi-institution study.
So can you give our listeners kind of a balance between, and there are pharmacists out there who have digged into research and are on the research side, and I think this touches for our specialty pharmacists as well, that distinction between plasma and serum and the different biological sampling types and when it's important to really understand the both between clotting and then blood of, in and of itself and what you're extracting. But what's the balance between that, and how does that help in outcome to start generating that data that we're also desperately wanting?
So it is obvious that it's much easier to take serum than plasma, because basically you use you take blood in room temperature and you let it clot, and after the clotting, when you do clotting, what you do basically is actually activating the platelets. And the platelets is a storage of a lot of proteins. So all these proteins are coming to the liquid, to the soup, which is the serum of the blood, and you can use that. However, if you think about it, this is not physiological at all, because serum we don't have in our body. And in order to learn about biological processes in your body, you cannot use serum, because serum you have inside everything that the platelets also have. And but in the blood, they are not activated most of the time. They're not activated. So you basically need to eliminate all these proteins that are found in the platelets, and you see them in the serum. Plasma is done in a little different ways. Of course, it's a centrifuge at the room temperature, but you use anti-clotting agent, different anti-clotting products, in order to make sure that the platelets are not activated. And then the proteins that you get there are a little bit different, and they are physiological, because that's what you have in your blood. It's the plasma and not the serum. So that's why basically we're looking into the plasma, even though it's harder to get. And I think that I addressed your question here, or did you ask another thing? And
maybe No. That's exactly what I want to understand, the difference, because when I read about plasma, and then there was also a paragraph about serum, I was confused of the, you know, kind of the difference of what's being obtained between the two. And you gave the a very good example, so I appreciate that. So we're kind of coming to the conclusion of our interview. I want to set the stage here for follow-up for interested pharmacists that would like to learn more. I'm going to be pushing them to the article that was published, as well as to the website. Is there any other information when we summarize those key aspects about performing plasma experiments, extracting information, providing those insights to further research, as well as drug manufacturers? What do you think the victory is at this level with melanoma? Where are you at in being able to have everything that you've desired out of this research and moving forward for solutions for patients that are suffering?
So, OncoHost is positions itself as a diagnostic company, although again, it's also suggesting what would be the right combination. And if you ask what I desire is that we will know for each patient in a precision medicine way to tell what would be the right treatment for that patient, for that matter. And I think it's important, because so far, when we look at this buzzword called precision medicine,
right,
it's mostly people are mostly interested or focused on the tumor, on mutations in the tumor. And based on these mutations, they would tell whether the tumor is sensitive or not to the treatment. Here we provide a new whole layer of information about the patients, because the treatment is not only for the tumor. The treatment is also happening in our body. And therefore, this complexity of tumor on one hand and body on the other hand, I think that we need this layer of information in order to give a new dimension for precision medicine. And I believe, I desire that this combination of looking into the tumor and looking at the host together can provide a better precision medicine, and this way patients will get the best treatment. I want to say also that OnCost is now has in their clinical studies, they are also working on additional indications and not only melanoma. Stay tuned, there will be publication soon on non-small cell lung cancer as well, additional indications in the future. So that's another thing that we're doing now.
Well, that's great. I very much have enjoyed your insights, Professor Yuval Shaked, and what you're doing with OncoHost. OncoHost is a clinical stage precision oncology company developing the first of its kind host response profiling platform, which is called PROPHET, for predicting responsiveness to cancer's therapies. And the technology analyzes the plasma changes in patient blood samples to detect signs of resistance to cancer therapies in real time. This is very exciting. I'm glad that we got to have you on. Our specialty pharmacists will definitely be interested in this, as well as our health system pharmacists and some of our community pharmacists who are leveraging technologies like pharmacogenomics. So I thank you for being here.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you, the audience, for this podcast. That's great.
Thank you.